Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Between the Lines Empowering Network. This is your host, your favorite girl, Corinne LaFont, bringing you back from Jamaica. It's so beautiful. I know I need to torture you all every time I have my radio show. All you people who are living out of the Caribbean, the warmth, the wind, the sea, the sand. Okay, I'm going to stop. All right. Now, we have with us a wonderful, wonderful guest with us today. Claire Jem. I'm going to tell you a bit about Claire, but before I go into telling you a bit about Claire, this is her first radio interview, and it's with my show. Can you believe it? So I want everyone to give her a warm welcome. Treat her nice, as you normally do. Okay? Listen to her interview. Ask questions. Raise your hands if you want to ask questions. Text in. Make her feel at home. This is Between the Lines Empowering Network. We empower people on the show, and we make everybody feel inspired and ready to go. So let me tell you a bit about Claire. Now, she writes under the name Claire, so that's her pseudonym. Her other pseudonym is Charlotte Daly, but her real name is, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. You need to find out. She's from Webster. Is that Massachusetts, I think, USA?
Yes.
Released her debut novel. Yes, and this is her first book that she has out. So everything is a first for Claire today. First on the show, first book called Phantom Traces. My gosh, it takes me back to my days of reading these nice little Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. Okay, so her first book is Phantom Traces from Soulmate Publishing, which was published on February 19 this year. Now, she's a graduate from Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and her MFA in 2012. She's an award-winning author of three novels, as well as her memoir, Maternal Threads, which is due out in the spring. She has a couple of other books coming out, and she has written for numerous publications, The Family Chronicle, The History Magazine, etc. And unlike many other authors who shrink from the marketing aspects of her writing career, which is pretty good, we're going to talk about that, she embraces marketing her work, yeah, which is very critical because, you know, if you've written something and you don't market it, nobody's going to know about you. So marketing is really the core and the trust behind what you're doing. So she calls herself a truly rare bird in the field for being able to, you know, market her stuff, unlike many other authors who just want to hide behind their book. Welcome, Claire, to Between the Lines Empowering Network.
Oh, I'm very, very thrilled to be here today, Corinne. Very thrilled.
Yes, I'm happy to have you. Did you like my nice little music there? Did it put you to ease a bit?
It did. It did. I actually make use of music a lot in my writing. I always have I do. Depending on the genre of the book that I'm writing, I usually have background music playing quietly while I'm working on a book that coordinates with the tone of the book that I'm writing.
Wow. You know, that's a super tip, and we haven't even good started the interview yet. You're telling me that you play music. Now, I've never heard that before. Now, I mean, do you know of these type of instrumentals that help you to concentrate and to relax you and stress relieving, and they have all these things like wind chimes and the ocean, you know, the sound of the ocean and rain, the forest rains and the birds. It helps to relax you. So I am happy to hear that you're using music or instrumentals to kind of help you to conjure up the thoughts and the imagination and the words to help you to write, because it puts you in the mood. I've never heard another author say that to me. So, hey, this is a fantastic way. Yeah, this is a fantastic way to start. You know, because we need to put ourselves in a mood, and it's not just for writing. I think it's very applicable to anything in our lives. So if we want to clean the house, let's say, and you know we women are cleaning the house, we tend to put on some upbeat music to kind of keep us energized.
To keep our moods up.
Yeah, as opposed to something like a Luther Vandross, which will make you say, hey, bring out the wine, let's lie down on the couch. No, you got to have
very
some
true.
Upbeat music. Yeah, you got to have some upbeat music. So I love that tip. And I mean, we haven't even gone into the interview yet, but that's super, super, super. I love that. But you are combining a couple of things in your writing. You're writing ghostly ooh stories and bringing romance. Now, tell me, how could you bring romance to a ghost? Now, ghost equals horror to me. Horror story.
Okay.
And how are you bringing romance in horror? The only thing that I can think of is when the movie Ghost with the late Patrick Swayze. That was the only love movie I knew with ghosts. So is it something like that?
It is something like that. Phantom Traces is primarily a romance novel. It is primarily a love story. But the ghost element, the love story is both between living people, and then it reflects the love story of the ghost that inhabits the library, where my heroine, Abigail Stryker, is trying to revive this library. I can cite a couple of similar authors that have used this sort of combination. The late, great Barbara Michaels, her book, Be Buried in the Rain, was all living people, and there was a romance in the book, but there were also ghosts and scary things, and that adds an element of interest. More recently, an author by the name of Simone St. James wrote a book called The Haunting of Mattie Clare, which actually won a Rita Award, which is given by the Romance Writers of America. And Nora Roberts, I'm sure you know the name Nora Roberts.
Yes.
Well, she recently had published a Boonesborough series, it's called. It's a series of three books that are all set in Boonesborough, North Carolina, and they are about living people. They are love stories, but the hotel that they all work in or live in or are affiliated with is haunted. And that is the tone of Phantom Traces.
Wow. So I'm trying to figure out now, because I'm referencing the ghost movie with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore.
Right.
I mean, that was like the ultimate. I don't even like to think about it because it's so sad, you know. It's sad and so emotional. It's so sad and emotional. And I've seen Patrick Swayze in a number of movies. He's just such a fantastic actor, and Demi Moore too, you know. But it just brings that emotion, that depth of love. And I'm saying, how can you bridge the romance and the ghost to create that roller coaster ride of emotions in a reader? I mean, we saw it in the movie. It's one thing because it brings the visuals. But to use words to create those visuals, how do you mix the two things?
That is the great challenge of any romance writer. That is actually the great challenge of any successful author, is to evoke emotion in the reader. And as you mentioned, it's one thing if you can see it on the screen, but it's another thing to choose the right words, the right pacing, and to make the stakes high enough to keep the reader worried enough about how is this going to end up, to evoke the emotion. And I started out with my heroine is coming out of a very bad situation. She had an affair with her senior advisor in college, big secret, ugly affair. She had a very bad ending. She escapes that and moves to a new town, starting over, and she takes this job at this library, which is very old, and it is reputedly haunted. She comes into this having known that the past two librarians actually got chased out of the library, literally. Yes. The opening of the book describes how the last two librarians quit because they were this ghost smokes a pipe and throws books at anybody he doesn't like. So this is the So this is the situation that Abby is coming into, and she's really not afraid of the ghost element. She just wants a new start, and she moves into this town partly because of the job, partly because her aunt lives right up the street. She runs a shop, which is a New Age shop, and as the story progresses, you discover that her aunt, Diane, is also into Wicca, and so is a witch. And so Abby is not really afraid of this ghost. She wants to understand it and wants to understand why the spirit is trapped in the library, and that becomes her goal. To make the library a safe place again, to bring it back to life, and she enlists the help of the local history professor, Jack Wood. And
but you know, you know, Claire, I'm sorry for cutting you, but as you talk more about it, it has a sort of link to me because I watch a lot of movies. I'm a moviegoer. It reminds me of, you know, Sixth Sense. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Sixth Sense with a little boy, Haley, I can't remember his name, but it was with Demi Moore's former husband, what's his name, Bruce Willis, was acting in that.
Oh, okay.
Was,
I have heard of it, but I have not seen it.
I think you need to watch it. It's the same ghost haunting, you know, that's a concept, but this little boy keeps seeing ghosts, but he just couldn't figure why they keep coming to him, and he was afraid, and he was seeing a psychiatrist who also happened to be dead. But of course, I'm giving away the movie. I shouldn't have done that.
Yes, it sounds like I may have to see that.
You have to watch that movie. I'm telling you, you would never know, and I shouldn't have given away that piece, but because you would have never known he was dead until the end. It's amazing. But the little boy's responsibility was really to help those who died to kind of to have closure. So it's reminding me a bit about. Yeah, it's reminding me a bit about that. I think you really need to watch that movie. It's compelling. It will have you on the edge of your seat if you're actually on the edge of the seat, if not on the floor or hiding under a sheet. It's really
so it's very scary, as well as being
it's scary,
emotional.
It's emotional. Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride, I'm telling you. I think I've seen that movie twice, and I have been shaking in my boots every time I think about it. But it takes you in. You know, those type of movies and books that takes you deep in. You know, and your own song similar to that as well. It takes you in, and those are the books you can't put down. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You're like,
exactly.
My God, I want to know what happens next. I can't leave it at this point. Who's calling me right now? No, I have to read the book. You know,
Well, I believe in order to write a book about ghosts that is compelling like that, or to produce a movie along the same lines, I believe that you have to have a belief in ghosts. And I do. I do believe in ghosts. Yes. And because I am also I'm kind of a split personality. Part of me is very, very scientific and very logical. That is what drove me to actually earn a certificate in paranormal studies from Duke University. And they have Rhines Research Center, and I took a course there in 2013 because I wanted to see how the world of science viewed things like ESP and spirits and all of that. And I do have a very profound belief.
Fantastic.
And that was what inspired this particular story, because I have a Christian upbringing. I was taught about purgatory. I was taught that there's a place that spirits can get caught. If there's not closure, as you mentioned, between Earth and the next world. And that is the ghost in this library. He's caught, and he's been trapped there for 100 years. And that is why Abigail is trying to figure out. Yeah, Abby is trying to figure out why he's trapped there and figure out how to release his spirit.
But hold on there, Claire. The thing about it is, I'm hearing you saying that you did the certificate in paranormal studies, and it's telling me that authors like yourself, because, I mean, I've spoken to numerous authors, and one of the common things that you hear is they have to do the research. There is an author that writes, like, mystery, fiction type of thing, and he says he goes out to the shooting range. He feels what the gun feels like. So when he's describing something, he is able to know what it feels like, the thrust, the pull of the trigger, the heaviness of the gun, whatever it is. I have people who write erotica, and they go to different places, the sex shops, the you know, all those different, I don't know, they do their research, the cities, club, all of those things to be able to figure out what is happening. It's not that they're freaky or anything like that, but it takes research, and you doing that particular, yeah, that particular study. So I'm saying, to build your characters, to write a compelling story, to decide the setting that you should place these characters is very, very important. Why did you choose the library? I mean, come on, Claire, the library of all places. Couldn't you have chosen, like, a cemetery or a house? I mean, the library, well, that's where we go and read books. It's quiet.
It is interesting. It is interesting that you ask that question, because I actually did quite a bit of research in creating the setting for Phantom Traces. I knew I wanted it to be set in a library. My character, when I created her, pretty much told me that she was a librarian. I mean, that's what I had to go with. And I had a picture in my mind of what the library looked like, but I needed visual inspiration. So what I did is, I live in central Massachusetts, and there are dozens of really old libraries within a 50-mile radius of where I live. And in the weeks before I started the book, I traveled to at least a dozen of these old buildings. And I went in, and I sat down, and I looked around, and I just got a feeling. I took some notes. I took some photographs. And the Harvey Library, that is the setting for Phantom Traces, is actually a conglomeration of elements from all of these old libraries. And I picked and chose all of the different elements of the different buildings that I saw and combined them to make this setting. And the Phantom Traces was actually born in a library. I took my laptop on November 1st, 2013, to the Richard Sugden Library in Spencer, Massachusetts. I parked myself at a desk in the back corner, and I started to write. The first two chapters of this book were actually written in a library, which allowed me to experience the aura, the smells of the old books, the muffled footsteps, the whispered, you know, muffled conversation. It really allowed me to bring the setting to life.
Whoa.
And I think that's important.
I think
that's very important.
It is. I love that. Because I love how you were describing the situation, the muffled, you know, conversations, the muffled footsteps. I love those type of words because it brings imagery. You're using imagery there with those type of, you know, words, descriptive words. I love that. I mean, it really makes you feel you're in the library, because you're talking to me and I'm sitting there with you in the library. I think you raised the spirits in that Harvey Library, to tell you the truth. I think you called... You call on all the people that have passed through there time and time again, and you ask them for inspiration, and they were telling you, listen, you need to put in this in the book. You need to put in that. This is the experience here. You know, and when you sit in a particular location, and I want to point out that, you get a feeling. There are some people that may sit in a park on a particular bench, and they just somehow connect with what's happening. They may be there physically, but spiritually and mentally, they may not be there. They're somewhere else. You know, it's
That's
amazing
very
that
true.
certain places do things to us. Some people, it may be on a beach alone, you know, just listening to the waves and just taking it all in. You know, you've gone somewhere else. Your mind has taken you somewhere else, and you don't even realize that time is ticking. You're not hungry. You're nothing. And this is why it's important for us to find that peace, to meditate, to find those places where we can find ourselves. Yeah, and
that's
you
very
writing
true.
The book, Yeah, you writing the book help you to find not only you, but to understand your characters and to bring them to life in your book. And that's absolutely fantastic. So you're sharing tips here. I mean, that's really crazy. I mean, this is wonderful. You're sharing about the whole thing about using music, doing your research, becoming somebody that some other people might say, what are you doing? This is crazy things you're doing. But you're doing the stuff to help you to write a better book and to become a better person and to be more knowledgeable in your field.
Yeah, I do believe that all of those elements are important, and I do believe that there is a huge difference between an author that takes the time to use these different elements in writing the book. I think that's where that emotion comes from. That's how you get the emotion down on the page. That's how you take feelings and visual images into words on paper or, you know, on the screen. That's how you do it.
Beautiful.
I actually get to know my characters so well that I feel bad when the book is over because I think to myself, oh, well, gee, I wonder what Abby is up to today, or, you know, I wonder if Jack's class is over yet. I actually find myself thinking of these people as real people. My husband thinks I'm a little bit unstable, but
That's okay.
I'm a creative.
That's okay. And if you're asking that, you know what I'm going to tell you, Claire? You need to have the sequel. You need to have the sequel.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned this because one of the things I started to do, I had no intention for a sequel for this book, no inspiration for a sequel when I finished it. But several weeks ago, I started on my blog, on my website, which is www.clairejam.com. I started a blog of Meet the Characters, and I would bring out, first I brought out Abby, and I wrote a little thing about how I first discovered her, and I was sitting in the next booth at the diner in Caldwell where the book is set, and I overheard her having a conversation with this blonde girl. And it as I wrote it, it just came out on the page that this blonde girl was her roommate up until she helped her move. She helped Abby to move to Caldwell. And then this blonde girl, her name is Laura, is on her way to a different city to start her job. And voila, there is my sequel.
Don't go any further. That's a teaser. Don't give it all away, Claire.
I haven't written
it
yet.
Don't. We can't afford to do that right now.
Okay. But anyway, that's how these things happen. That sometimes sometimes I don't go looking for the ideas. Sometimes the characters whisper in my ear.
And
this is why I believe in ghosts.
Of course, and that's what it is. But before we forget, because we're coming up to the end of the show, I want you to make sure that you do a giveaway of your book, because we have people who are calling in, who may be texting in, and I'm sure they would love to be the first ones to get a copy of your free giveaway, and you're giving away the ebook as well as the audio, one of each, right? So
it's
good for two giveaways. So tell people how they can get it quickly.
Okay, just go onto my website, www.clairejam.com, and the Contact Me page, and put in the subject line giveaway, and then I need to know whether you would prefer the audio version or the ebook version, and I will be giving away one of each of those.
Wow, so it's good for two people. Are you hearing that, my listening audience?
Yes, it is.
It's good for two people. Don't try to con her now and say that you under a different name, like how Claire is writing under a pseudonym. Don't try that. Be honest now. So you're going to get the ebook, or you get the audio, but it has
audio
to be two different people. Yeah, two different people. One person will get the audio, one person will get the ebook. Oh, my God. Claire, it's your first interview. I want to welcome you again. I'm so grateful I spoke with you. I learned a lot. I want to encourage you to watch Sixth Sense, SIXTHSENSE, Sixth Sense. You need to watch that movie today, with Bruce Willis.
I will do that.
Yeah, look at it. And then we could probably chat about it another time. That would be awesome.
I would love to do that, Corinne. I would love to do that.
Yeah. And it's so great to have you on the show. I hope you had a wonderful time. Did you?
I did. I had a wonderful time, and I appreciate you very, very much having me on your show.
Yeah, so you see, there was no nervousness. There was nothing to be nervous about.
No, and the time flew.
Exactly, exactly. So thank you so much, Claire. Let me just remind the listening audience how they can contact you. It's at clairegem.com, and don't worry about remembering it. I'm going to put that link on the episode page and, of course, on my Facebook page, my website and everything. And I normally write a blog about this right after so that we can share and you can hear the episode again. And, of course, try to get a copy of Claire's book, Phantom Traces. It's available through her website. Go to her Contact Us page and indicate if you want the ebook or the audio version. It's good for two people, one going to get the ebook, one going to get the audio book. And just connect and follow her blog. I mean, you never to know. This could be a sequel. It could be a movie in the making. People listening about it, you never to know where these things can land up. And, of course,
would make a great movie.
And hello, that's why I'm saying it. My hair is standing up on my head, Claire. That's why I'm saying it, because I'm speaking it into being for you. You're going to be making a movie out of this thing, Phantom Traces. This is wonderful. Thank you so much, Claire, for being on the show. You are a wonderful guest. You raised some of my hair on my head, bringing out a little ghostly thing about me. And
thank
just
you
to
again,
encourage person. No problem, my darling. And just to encourage persons to keep following the show, Between the Lines Empowering Network. You know what you need to do. Just go to the link and just follow us. Check us out on our website at helpdeskj.com. All these links are going to be there. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend, everyone. Remember to use music to help you. Remember to just enjoy life. And just know that there's greatness within you, like Les Brown says, and you can do anything that your mind conceives. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.